country people, what's the word? It's your boy Dubai Dennis, based here in Seattle, Washington. Welcome to another exciting episode of the African Creative Hustle Show. I'm saying African Creative Hustle Show because next to me I have an African king. I know you can't see him. I know you're seeing me, but I'm about to introduce the king next to me. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, as always, Creative Hustle brings you not only the pioneers, but also the mentalists, the futurists, the people who are elevating our culture, our vibe, and our business. Today, I have a special guest. Last weekend, if y'all missed 2 weeks ago, we were over there in Sodo, Ghana Independence Weekend, the happiest country in the continent, yo. The happiest country in the continent. If you don't know, check your vibes. Check your vibes. Ghana in the house today, Ghana Independence Weekend. And how are we gonna commemorate such a beautiful country, beautiful culture, beautiful people without bringing the beautiful pioneers of sound, of music, of art, of architecture? Ladies and gentlemen, today I have none other but the man himself, the legend, Jupiter.
Yes. Man, I love that energy, bro.
Ladies and gentlemen, this guy here. Before I continue, I have to read his government names. He's got, open here first. Open it fast. Don't cut nothing. Leave it. This is good.
Yeah.
I'm using Jupiter's phone because I've realized we are very faithful.
Exactly.
African men don't cheat.
Yes, at all. Never.
We participate. Mm-mm. We don't cheat. But today I have the ladies and gentlemen, Michael Abijah Ome. For those who don't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is a dancehall artist, producer, creator. Yeah. He's also not only known in Ghana, but he's known also all over the Caribbean. His music journey started in 2011. He has made a significant impact on African dancehall scene. His authenticity connects with artists all over the globe. So ladies and gentlemen, I just want to rub your hands together. If you're out there in the streets, rub your cheeks together. If you're in the bar, rub your beers together. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have a shout out. Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing, man? Welcome to the show,
good,
Jupiter.
I'm good, bro.
How you doing, bro?
I'm all right, bro.
Welcome to Seattle.
Thanks, bro, man.
Everything cool?
Everything all right.
Everything cool?
Everything excellent, man. Trust me. Yeah. Especially with the energy that you possess, man.
Nah, bro. I appreciate you, bro. Bigger, man. Right. Yo, you came. What was that? Thursday or Friday?
I think Thursday. Yeah.
Thursday, Friday?
Thursday, Friday,
and you had your show on Saturday.
On Saturday, yeah.
How was the reception? Man, I saw people in the airport with you, bro. They were clapping. Hey, who's that guy? Like a Brainy Beats guy. It was all over you. Hey! Feeding you right. How was it?
I think before I say anything, I've been to so many places in the world, you know, and with this reception that I've received, this, I think, one of its kind. I've never had it like this before. I'm not talking about the settings. I'm talking about the love. You know what I'm saying? The love that he approached me with is like, it's unfiltered. You know what I'm saying? It's raw and it's unique. You know what I'm saying? So I really appreciate them. Shout outs to Brainy Beat.
Shout out Brainy Beat. Shout
outs to Africa Connect. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And shout outs to all the Ghanaians and Africans
Connect,
that are in Seattle. Correct. You guys are doing it, man.
Man, I came to your baby and me, bro. You and people, bro. This girl, like, the whole parking lot was full.
I tell you.
This was not the show day.
No.
This is the day before the show day.
It's called a
and
woman.
You had all these people, they are eating. It's like they saw you.
Drumming.
You know, like Queen Bee.
Yeah.
But you're King Bee now.
You got it.
Everybody
you got
just it. Came there, just, and was it like till midnight?
Most of.
Yeah. Oh man, like when you came to Seattle, were you expecting this type of reception from your Ghanaian people? Because I don't know if it's your first time here. Yeah. I'm not sure. Have you done a show here before?
No, I've been to a couple of states. You know, I've done the New Orleans International Art Festival.
Oh, nice.
You know, with legends. Yeah. I've been to Miami. I've been to New York, New Jersey, Houston. Like, I've been to a couple of states. You know, did tour with Rema, you know, 15 states.
Yeah, sure, Rema.
Yeah, we did a tour. About
bigger.
But Seattle, I honestly knew my brother has this element of surprise, you know, in him. But he won't tell you what he's about to do. But I know this guy is really, really going to go hard and, you know what I'm saying? Not to impress me, but to show me what he's capable of. You know, and I'm speaking about Brainy once again, you know what I'm saying?
Brainy,
well, my expectation wasn't up to what he did, honestly speaking, but then He oversurprised me, you know what I'm saying? That's how I'm going to keep it. And that's a blood. Yeah, that's brother right there, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Shout out to Brainy Beats again, Kingsley. Yeah, let's take it. Let's look back.
Okay.
We're in Ghana.
a lot of people stumble their arts differently.
Right.
Some people through trauma, and some people, they had it genetically.
Right.
Anybody in your family doing music?
Majority of them sing in their washrooms when they are bathing. When they are bathing, you know. My dad is a serious reggae fan.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
He loves to play the guitar, you know. I think I can't actually recall any of my family members actually doing music. I think I'm the first generation to pursue it to a different level.
Yeah. And at what point, was it in high school? Was it in primary school? When did you like pen down something that you felt was a lyric?
You know what? I grew up as a Krishna consciousness, you know.
Catholic?
Krishna consciousness is more like what you guys call.
Is it protester?
It's India. Mahatma Gandhi. I don't know if you know.
Like one of the meditation guys?
Yeah, meditation guys. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's different from Christianity and it's different from Islamic. It's more like a meditation. You know the Indians with the chalk dots? Krishna.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I was one, my dad is part of that society. So I was part of the Krishna consciousness for like from 1 to age 9. And my grandma was a full Christian woman, so she called the police on my dad that my dad is teaching us. My dad is actually teaching
Sorry,
us.
Sorry, guy, but I gotta
lie. But that's fact, though, man. Yeah, for real, though. My grandma called the police on my dad. So I remember at age 9, I was in the school, crossed my leg, doing the chantings and all of that. And there was a police that actually came to the school to arrest a couple of the teachers. And then, you know, they took me out of the school. And then she took me to church, you know. From the church, you have to, of course, there are so many departments in the church.
Yeah.
I joined the choir. I joined the brigade. I joined the AYPA, the Youth Association, and then later on, I joined the choir.
Mm-hmm.
So with the church choir, but then I have been doing this in school already. You know what I'm saying? Even though the Krishna space, you wouldn't have anywhere to actually do music because they'll be singing Indian songs and stuff like that. So you have enemies. But when I listen to songs, sometimes I'll be singing them and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually started from the church when we joined the choir, and they were teaching us about hymns. You know, if you're a proper African, then you should know about like Anglican churches.
Yeah, all the time. Catholics too. Exactly, yeah, we had that. Mm-hmm.
So I was in St. Michael, Catholic Anglican church, and then part of the choir too. They were teaching us about hymns and stuff like that. When we come back home, then we'll do our own rehearsals. And I start even actually writing my own hymns. You know what I'm saying? So he actually picked up from the church.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, in school, we went there. I was part of the entertainment people. I think when you get to my school and you ask of me, they will definitely know. Because every Wednesday, I make sure I entertain them.
Where's the school? Where was school at? What's the name of the school?
It's called Premier International.
You're like entertainment captain.
You know what I'm saying? that was ages ago, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like 20-something years ago, you know? Mm-hmm. So when you come to the school every Wednesday, you know, I am the guy to entertain them. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't stop from there. Mm-hmm. I actually quickly went to the studio.
Mm-hmm.
My very first time, I had to actually walk miles to the studio because I wasn't having the means to, you know what I'm saying, take
transportation. I love your honesty about that.
Most definitely, cool. I have to.
So you hustled to, like, go to record?
Yeah, it was crazy because, you know, now I got to a part where I lost my parents, both of them.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Yeah, so life was actually tough.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy tough. So, coming from a proper background, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're good, you know what I'm saying? Daddy was good, mommy was good, you know? So I'm a cool kid, you know what I'm saying? I got everything that I want and all of that, and all of a sudden, it's gone. I have to hustle on my own. So the only choice that I have left for me is music then. You know, that was my only talent.
That was like a release, that was therapy, that was everything at that time.
That is my last option.
Mm.
You know, because even if I want to go to school, who's going to pay the fees?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
Exactly. And you know, there was this thing about Africans, let's say maybe where I'm from, that sometimes when maybe your dad or your mom is rich sort of and they are no more, the family sees you like an outcast in the sense that when they used to have maybe you are not friendly with them, sort of, you know. Mm-hmm. So they just want to watch you rot. Do you get me?
That's powerful. Like, so, they watch you rot.
Exactly.
That's some true stuff right there.
Crazy, bro. Crazy. Yeah. So the only option that I had actually was music, you know what I mean? Because that's the only thing that I've learned how to do, you know? I'm a disappointed footballer because I really love
disappointed football. What is disappointed footballer? Were you playing football or not?
I tried to write it. It didn't work.
It was disappointment.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So from there, I recorded my first song. I played it to most of majority of my friends, you know, in the hood. And they were like, yo, you know that your yes man? You know, the yes man. It was like, yo, man, this is dope. At first, I thought they were not giving me honest opinion because I believe whatever I recorded wasn't that much, you know what I'm saying? But then they keep supporting me, and then I started dropping songs to songs. So I was actually first young Ghanaian artist to actually emerge ever, you know, in the history of Ghana music. I think at the age of 16 years, I'm already a superstar, playing festivals in London, traveling places, like shutting it down for the whole country.
What is your first hit single?
It's called Not Touch Again.
Not Touch Again. What inspired Not Touch Again?
Well, it's Vibes Cartel, you know, because that time,
yeah. Was,
you know, Vibes Cartel from Jamaica.
Yeah.
There was this top,
bigger,
so Vibes Cartel and Movado has this crazy feud that was going on then.
Oh, then that clash, was it 98?
It was a long time. I can't actually remember the day, you know, but it actually took effect on the globe. Because then that's all actually has dominated the whole globe. You know, people, it's either you are Goli or Gaza.
Yeah.
You know, and Vice Castle is one of the dancehall artists that actually inspired me a lot, correct, you know. Correct. So, well, I took inspiration from him to drop that Not Touch Again song, which actually took Ghana by storm. Like, people were wondering, yo, are you sure it's from Ghana? Are you sure it's from Ghana? Are you sure it's from...
Like, how did you record the first song?
Well, I listened to the beat online, you know, because I was at the internet cafe. I have to pay to go listen to.
Yeah, you know, man. Don't worry, bro. You know the vibes.
Not today.
Wi-Fi comes.
Exactly. But today, well, you know, and especially, you know, coming from Africa, we don't have the avenues. The avenues are very difficult to access.
Yeah.
But for here, like, easy to access.
It's easier to access.
All those kind of things. But so you have to pay to go to an internet cafe, you know.
Yo. So you were telling me about breaking out in Ghana, Vibes Cartel.
Yeah.
One of the things I love about the breaking news that came out the other day.
Yeah.
We may have Vibes Cartel coming out. You know that, right?
Yeah.
King might be coming out right now. They came back from London, y'all.
Guys,
shout out to Guys, let me say.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, it's coming out. Free the balls. He's coming out. And I'm excited that I got to tell you, if you ever want to know your art speaks to people, look at how long Vibes has been in jail and how much of the little art that he served us is still blowing up, even though we don't see him. You don't need the physicality.
No stuff.
Your art has transcended beyond Ghana.
Right.
How did you feel going international for the first time?
I've always knew I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be the artist to actually set the mark straight. You know what I mean? I always knew I'm going to be the artist that is going to, you know, take this whole thing to a different level. Because even in my own country, they see me as an alien, you know, for the fact that it was very difficult to accept international sounding, you know, musicians in my country. You know, because we are typically used, we're like typical Africans in the sense that we don't play with our indigenous, you know, music. For instance, like the Dundu and High Life and then, all these things. Like, we are so much into it that it's hard for you to accept something which is more foreign. So I think I don't know, but, you know, arguably, I think I'm the one and the only first artist to actually do this dancehall thing, 100% that Ghanaian actually accepted it. You know, and we're singing back to back, you know, with the patois that I sang with the song, the whole 10 regions. I mean, if anybody sees me, I remember some time ago, I went to a radio station, I was speaking our local dialect, somebody nearly collapsed. Yeah, because they didn't realize, like, I've had a reputation to be an international artist, you know. This guy is from Jamaica and all of that. Even when they want to nominate me for music awards, they have to call to verify. You know what I'm saying? So I've lived with that brand for a very long time. So consciously, I know for a fact that with the kind of music that I'm pursuing, like, I'm seriously going to break the international market. Because my first single actually gave me, a festival to play in London, which is international stage. You know, I won big over Wizkid and Davido in 2017.
Is that the Bass Awards?
No, that's Urban Music Awards.
Ah, MTV?
Yeah,
in
UK.
Yeah.
So bigger. That time, Ed Sheeran was there.
You saw these people?
Oh, yeah, all of them. Yeah. Ed Sheeran, Skepta, Stormzy, Wizkid, all of those people. Like, they were present, you know what I mean? But because they understand the international sound, you know, it was easy for them to actually nominate me, you know what I'm saying? And then, I was crowned the first African artist to ever win African Artist of the Year 2017 at Urban Music Award UK. So it kickstarts from then. The rest is just grace and history, man.
Last year in the summer, there was a big debate on Twitter.
Crazy.
Some of our island brothers and sisters were thinking that some Ghanaians were singing dance. So it was kind of like stepping into the culture without giving them enough props. I know you've heard that debate before. So what's the relationship between Ghana, Ghanaians, and dancehall that the outside world does not understand? They're like, oh, maybe you are trying to be wannabe Jamaicans. What's going on?
Well, before, I think even the Jamaicans there, if they look back to their native, to their roots, they realize they were once from Ghana and other part of Africa before they get to where they are. When you go to Jamaica, there was these people called the Made. Native Jamaicans are called Maroons, right? They are called Nyankupo. We call our God here Nyankupo. You know, and you see the similarities so much. Even in our food, they have rice and peas. We have wache.
Wache.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like all these things, like it's very significant. You know, you can tell. You can trace it back to the roots, and the root is Ghana. You know what I'm saying? But because of the foreign influence, and some of them, obviously, they don't know where they are. They don't even know how they migrated on that island, you know? So we are here to remind them. Sometimes we just do things so similar in the sense that
there's a conversation that's missing.
There is. You know, there's something which is missing. So how can we actually, you know, be the gap between Ghana and the other, Africa and the other Caribbean countries? It's through melody and words, which is music. That's the only way we can connect. That's the only way we can say, oh, no, wait, this one sounds like me.
Like the
you know what I mean? Because it's tongue, you know what I mean? So that's the only way we can also say, okay, we belong here, we belong there. I can never speak like an American. You know
no, we're not there.
That's exactly. Even though, you know, you get influence as an American, you cannot sound like a proper American.
Unless you lose something.
Exactly.
I told a friend like that before. If I get too American, I have to lose something.
Exactly.
You can't get everything.
Then you are not being natural. You get me? Yeah. So the part of us, the other side of us as Africans, you know, is by also trying as much as possible to, you know, get that connection between our Caribbean friends. You speak Patois. Exactly. And even in your native languages, some of the words that you use, is like one of our indigenous tongues here in Ghana. You know, so the similarities are there. So we, not that we are taking over, you know, with the Ajir or whatever that they do, but it's just we Africans, you know, reminding ourselves that hey, we are
also important.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Building charisma, self-esteeming people, that's good for mental health.
Right.
What's your creative process like? Me, I like, before I create, I need food. I just need a lot of food just lying around. I don't need to eat it. I just need to just be around.
I think it has to be in my, I have to tap my cycle mode. My cycle mode in the sense
getting
that,
dark or what?
Not basically. My cycle, because it's spiritual, right? It's just like when I'm going to perform, I have to perform some, you know, some sort of ritual. If I want to record a song, you know, Brainy can testify to that.
Yeah.
You will be playing the beat. I like, don't disturb me. You know what I'm saying? Don't confuse me. Just let me be in the zone. Just keep playing the beat. You know, and I have to actually, you know, sort of, you know, it's more, I don't even know how to express it. It's more spiritual. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need to tap into that cycle mode. Yeah, I have to really get in that cycle mode where the words will be coming automatically.
Yeah.
You know, because I believe in whatever I do and it's more spiritual than what the physical eyes can see. You know what I mean? I need to picture people singing to that rhythm, people going crazy to that melody. You know what I'm saying? That's why they say the devil actually also loves music because he knows how to manipulate people with sound and power. You know what I'm saying? Because sound are very powerful. You know, so I try as much as possible to be in that power zone, like to that, to the, you know, to the last cloud, you know what I'm saying? So I will be with you. You'll be talking, I'll be smiling, but I'm not there. You know, because I have to tap into that realm before I'll be able to release lyrics. So music for me is nothing that, you know, you just go to the studio, smoke some weed, drink some alcohol. You know, sometimes I do that, sometimes he's there. He's like, oh, Charlie, let me pour you some alcohol, some shots. I won't drink it. It's not about that. All those things are, you know, basic influences, but then that supernatural, you know what I'm saying, aspect of it is by tapping into that realm and releasing, you know, something powerful, something that actually can, you know what I'm saying, when someone hears it, you'll be like,
damn. It feels like, yeah, I can feel like you're
exactly. Because I don't play with music. You know, people actually, you know, they just go and they spit lyrics out. But then I just want to be in that zone. if I'm not in that zone, whatever that I record, personally, I know it's trash. Believe me. Yeah, but not always that I'm there.
She said, personally, is this?
Yeah, I'm not gonna, yeah, like, you know, fact.
I was right. Ready for it. Oh, yeah, bro. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, you know,
personally, I mean, it's trash. If it's trash, don't answer the email.
And I know it's trash. And when it's trash, trust me, I'm not gonna release it. It's gonna be there forever.
Asking about that question, why I'm tying this together is, how do you know, or how do you pick? What's your process of picking, like, I wanna mess with this producer, DJ Khali, or Diddy, or R. Kelly, not R. Kelly, or somebody else.
Yeah.
But any producer in the world, not R. Kelly. Yeah. I was not there. Yeah. But what goes into your process of picking producers?
Well, we have to be spiritually inclined, you know, spiritual first, because music is spiritual. And then creative-wise, too, we have to be inclined, you know, because if we are on both sides when it comes to creativity, you know, because me, I believe I have that, you know, creative instinct to be highly creative, you know, with lyrics and sounds, you know. So you also have to be, at least, you have to be somewhere closer to me. I have all these top producers that I've never worked with them, you know what I mean? When I'm working with Brainy, for instance, Brainy is one of the major producers that actually I can work with. I actually work with him on all the songs on my album.
Was this an album?
Yeah,
what's the name of your album?
The One album. Yeah.
The One.
The One.
What went behind the name The One?
Because I'm the one that, you know, will save Ghana music industry. Very soon they will say that.
Yeah. I love it.
But it has so many meanings to it, you know what I'm saying? But then aside from that, Brainy is that kind of person. He knows when I'm getting into that mood. Like, he knows when I'm getting there. So everything has to cease.
So in that whole spiritual space that
he knows it. He knows it. You know, when you get used to someone, for instance, if I see you every day and I get used to you, I'm spiritually connected to you. So it will sing. That's the thing. So I know what you like. I know when you're in the mood without telling me if you're in the mood or not. You get me? You don't have to smile first for me to know you're in the mood. You can even frown your face, but I know you're happy. You get me? So he knows my turn. Like, he knows when to be quiet. He knows what to play for me, to ginger me. You know what I'm saying?
And just bring you back in.
And then he'll just put me in that realm. And then the rest is going to be, you know, it's going to be amazing works all over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Big question.
Right.
Have you ever made any Afrobeat music?
Yeah, of course.
You consider Afrobeat?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go slow because the question is really loaded.
Okay.
What do you consider Afrobeat? What is Afrobeat?
Afrobeat is just a representation of, various indigenous African sounds, you know. For instance, I can mention Ghana because that's where I'm from. In Ghana, we have about like 10 or more of them. We have the Adowa, we have the Palogo. We have Bobobo and all of that. These are like native Ghanaian, you know, indigenous sound, you know. So let me tell you a quick story about a group in Ghana called Osibisa.
Do share.
Osibisa is actually, let me say, one of the top pioneers of African music. Let me not mention Afro, because Afro is now, you know, more urban, right? Yeah. So Osibisa are the ones that, you know, actually took this African music to the Western world. You know, they were singing in English and our local dialect too, you know what I'm saying? And aside from them, we have a whole lot of legends in Ghana that are also doing like proper Ghanaian high life. Which actually...
My dad used to like highlight.
Oh, you know, exactly.
Yeah.
So Ghanaians, you see, where I'm from, we are very creative with sound. I'm not going to lie. Just that we don't really know how to package it well, you know what I mean, to sell it out there.
But highlife was big, bro. No, we had it in East Africa. We heard.
Highlife
like,
is
the sound
highlife.
Was like...
Exactly.
The percussions.
Trust me, bro. Highlife is the source. Just like Zouk. Zouk is more... You see, if you look at Fela...
Yeah.
The story about Fela, or the history of Fela. Fela came to Ghana to learn from Osibisa, you know. So either there is some, there's some like impartation of Osibisa's ways of creativity into Fela. Fela took it to Nigeria. What happened? He became a legend.
He flipped it and
he took it to the next level. Now Fela is more like he has become like African Bob Marley. You know what I'm saying?
Like fighting, think about it.
Fighting with politicians, because of course, obviously, they are the ones
system,
that actually take the system, making sure the speaking for the poor, speaking for the weak. You know what I'm saying? Strengthening people with his sounds and power and all of that. You know, but the basic was actually from Ghana, which is highlight, and they know it. You know what I'm saying? So Afrobeat, I would say, is just a representation of Africans. You know what I'm saying? yeah, picking, because it's very collective, like
subjective different sound.
Exactly. Subjective. Exactly.
So 2 days ago, there was a big rattle on Twitter.
Right.
I got my people over there, some of the bloggers from the UK or something.
Yeah.
And they were arguing that Afrobeat feels like an abandoned child, right? Because the OGs don't want to claim it.
Right. Oh, yeah, I get where you're coming from.
And the new G's are coming in and saying, like, no, I'm not Afrobeat. I'm Afropop. I'm Afroshow. I'm Afro this. They're literally this mother bee that created all this genre that we pushed to the world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, as an OG of guys, we used to, like, literally tip up the bartenders to play Afrobeat for us, like, 11, 12, 13, 15 years ago in America.
Right.
That time was crazy, bro. In the Midwest,
it's crazy.
It was crazy. So now we're like, we fought so much for African music to be played in these spaces.
Right.
And then we have our OG saying, like, I don't even want to be part of what that name.
Listen.
How do you feel about it?
I'm so heartbroken. I don't even know. I don't, where's contractually express my feeling now? You know, recently, Whiskey did made a statement about they shouldn't call him an Afrobeat artist. Yeah, and for a second, I'm just trying to, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt. Like, well, let me try to understand him. Or maybe it's a stunt. But he's past that stage of all this.
I like that.
Yeah, he's past that stage.
Mm-hmm.
So I just really want to go into the depth of that situation, why he actually said to people that they shouldn't call him Afrobeat, you know. But that is what you actually make people, that is what you were loved for. You know, that is actually what
I thought.
I was
mad.
No, you are not. You see, like a hip-hop artist in America, all of a sudden say, don't call me hip-hop artist anymore.
I am reggae artist. I'm 50 Cent from Jamaica.
So how do you...
How would you even believe that?
How are they even categorizing themselves now? One problem about Africans, they say, you see how influential the Western world is? When we get there, then we lose our identity.
Then why are we working so hard to lose our identity?
Can you imagine?
We are working so hard to get up here so we cannot be the people we claim to be.
People have died for this moment. People have sacrificed for this very moment, right? The moment is here now. Look at what we're doing. We are not even cherishing it for a decade. All of a sudden, they are just running away. Burna Boy also didn't make the same statement. So now we have to sit back. The ones coming up, we have to ask ourselves so many questions, you know? And then you can even actually attribute it to our way of life as an Africans. You know, we fight to get independence. And how are we even using that liberty? How are we actually using that liberty that we fought for? How beneficial is that liberty that we actually had, you know, from these white folks? Through the enslavement. You know what it is, right? Ghana independence. Ghana is 67 or so. I don't really know. You know, we've gained independence. You've gained independence.
We're still fighting for our freedom like that. It's not like we're
how
not
has it benefited us?
No, as really benefited us. As
so
artists.
This is a typical significant of what I'm talking to you about with our sound.
With the Afrobeat.
Now Afrobeat, Grammy has even accepted it, giving you a space to hammer.
And
on
that's
it.
What's making me upset when I'm thinking about it. Like, everybody can diversify, right?
Exactly.
Cut a piece of cake from Afrobeat.
Right.
But at the end of the day, when you think about it, right?
Mm.
How big is the tally for Afrobeat on the charts?
Right.
And how big is the pop tally in Afrobeat?
Right.
So when you leave this in Afrobeat to compete with this in the world,
right.
You think jurors are going to play you more than the rock stars? They can fill up your stadium based on the Africans there.
But
what's the longevity plan?
Yeah, I can fearlessly tell you.
You see what I'm saying?
I get you 100%. I can
Latinos went through that with the reggaeton.
Reggaeton, right.
Between 2000 and 2012.
Right.
Ain't nobody but Pitbull.
Right.
Ain't nobody but, what's his name? Yeah. Well, Daddy Yankee. Nobody.
Right.
And Afro, I feel Afrobeat is on the 2000s.
Great.
But if we don't find a way like to get the gold recycling in there, we're going to be the next reggaeton where no one even hires you no more.
Now, listen, it's sad. The funny thing is all the jurors, right? All the world is
looking at Africa. Why? Because of Afrobeat. And the pioneers, in fact, they are not even like that. The new generation pioneers of Afrobeat are now telling us that that is not their identity. The question is, who are you then?
If you're not Afro, and you're for the beat. It's just a simple thing.
But they are forgetting that they cannot be accepted in other side
They didn't start from the other side, brother.
So regardless of whatever
African
you
said, proverb.
That's it.
A child that does not respect the mother will not be respected by the world.
Right.
It's an African proverb from Zimbabwe.
I'm telling you. And I can fearlessly say that we don't need Grammy to be acknowledged as an African artist. Why? Grammy is a fatality. You know what I'm saying? It's for the Western world. Who created Grammy? Is it the dude from Africa? You know what I'm saying? Why are you fighting so much to be part of what the Western culture is theirs? Leave it. What do we have?
Give me half of that.
What is our Grammy as an African? I'm telling you, man.
Yo!
What is our Grammy as Africans?
By the way, before you shut it down,
right?
Shout out to the Grammy Award winner. That was a Grammy. Ghanaian. That was a Ghanaian. The producer.
Who there?
Well, co-producer, right? Was it Ghanaian, right?
Oh, the
yeah, it was Ghanaian, man. It was a Ghanaian producer.
Oh, with the
Tyler? We don't want to do the Tyler, man. We got to give God a buck for that, bro. Come on. We want the Grammy Award.
Shout out to the DJ there.
Most definitely. Yeah. But I love the fact that you dropped this in between this conversation.
Most definitely.
I remember I was in a room full of Africans, African professional people.
All right.
And a few of our African-American brothers were there, African-American sisters were there.
Right.
And I asked them, right? So in Africa, if there's a show,
right,
like Miss Ghana, Miss Accra,
and
there's one organization organizing it,
right,
and they decide not to recognize the west side of Accra. What does the west side of Accra do? They have a west side of Accra, Miss Africa.
Simple.
On that side.
Simple.
I have never understood why in Africa there's only, in America there's only one Oscar. Exactly. Why are there not four of them? I should have had Oscar Houston, Oscar Nigeria, Oscar Nairobi.
That's
hey, I should have had a Grammys Nairobi.
That's
you award yourself what you think you deserve. Because when, I'm going to promise you, I was really embarrassed by Jay-Z.
Right.
When Jay-Z went on Black History Month, on a platform that's not African or black.
Right.
And then he was crying there that his wife has not got a Grammy that he can make himself. A whole billionaire crying for acknowledgement.
Exactly.
Then me as an African child, who should I look up to if my billionaire is still waiting for
acknowledgement? Exactly. And
my billionaire should not be talking to people anyhow.
No.
He should be coming to Africa, destroy things.
Exactly.
Not crying like for acknowledgement. Because in Africa right now, remember when Channel Law used to drop? Every kid wanted to see
every kid.
AKA Casper
Channel,
Deves,
my
Sakode. Days. Bro, we were ready.
Channel All I was.
You know what that did to us?
Man.
It did something to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What inspired you as a child to always know you're gonna be like an artist?
Well, for some reason, I think I was born a star. I knew it. You know, I think everybody that was born a star in this room, actually, you can't have that. You know, that instinct inside you that, you know, like some part of you knows like you're going to be somebody, you know, then it starts with the journey. So through the journey, the circumstances that you're going to go through will determine how strong you are to be able to pass through to level. Because even in school, you have to go to primary, to JHS, to high school.
Yeah.
So there is a process through it. Getting to know like self-actualization, if getting to know yourself, like, yeah, of course, this is what you are, who you are. Now the journey begins, right? How strong are you to be able to hold all the, you know, the backlashes, the difficulties to become successful? So me, for some reason, I knew I'm going to be someone bigger than what I am here. Trust me.
What are the challenges of you? Because your art is not cheap.
Yeah.
What are some of the ways that young artists who are not signed can crowdfund or find a way to get resources to fund their projects? How did you have, because I know your first project you mentioned before, last Friday you said like it was a hustle.
Yeah, it was.
How did you come together?
Like I said, with determination. I already knew who I was going to be like, you know, so even the mouse walking to the studio, the days of, you know, without eating any food in my belly, you know.
You was recording hungry?
Yeah. And even, guess what? I don't even have money to record. So, you know what? I'll actually go to the studio to be sweeping the studio, you know. Anytime the producer finish recording, I'll be sweeping the studio just to impress him.
So, when he can give you at least 10 minutes?
Exactly.
Oh, man.
You know,
bro.
So I can sweep for like 2 weeks and I'll get 10 minutes of his time
yeah.
the following weeks. You know what I mean? So it has been like that, but that didn't even actually make me stop because I could equally look at the other side.
Yeah.
To maybe go and try and see if I can be an arm robber or maybe.
Come on. No, for real, though. There's a real gangster shit.
For real, bro. Yeah. Come on. You know what I'm saying? So, but then the goal is still there, you know, because I have my objectives, my stated objective, and I'm achieving them one after the other. You know what I'm saying? This is like inclined young boy, you know. Very like, I know exactly what I want. And trust me, in Ghana, majority of the kids that are coming out now actually wanted to do music. Personally, for me, like the question that you just asked me, what it takes. If first of all, you know, that is not your field, you failed in the first place.
You know failed or something. How did you feel?
Exactly.
Like
because they know, listen, God didn't create us as, you know, just normal entity, like we are a full spiritual body right there, you know what I'm saying? That part of you knows exactly who you have to be. And I dare each and everybody in this room, unless maybe you are useless, then that's sad. But then if you are more spiritually inclined, I swear to God,
you should know
like, no, I'm going to be the hottest DJ, you know what I'm saying?
It's in you. No,
it's in you.
It's in your spirit. You feel it? It's like a silent prayer to you.
Exactly. And it shouldn't be talent-wise too as well, you know what I'm saying? Because in my place,
spiritual.
Yeah, in where I come from, sometimes talent is not all. You know what I'm saying? You can have it, but the support is not there. And then maybe you...
Discipline too.
Exactly. Discipline. Yeah, discipline also is also part of it. But majority of the people out there in my country, like, they just want to go according to the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, music is the trend. We are all singing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I see a doctor friend, like, he was writing rap, and I was like, listen, if you don't stop, you can be about fooling money. You know what I mean? Like a doctor friend that wants to switch to come and write music. You know, come on, bro. Like,
Brainy, give me something for him to drink. Put it on the chair. Don't be like that. Put something.
Yeah, this is wrong.
I don't cut it either.
It's okay, crazy. Cool. You know what I'm saying? So it has been like that. And this the journey is funny. You know, for Brainy, for instance, you know, I always want to use him as an example because we grew up together.
Mm.
The moment I saw Brainy,
mm-hmm.
I said to myself, like, this, me and this guy will do things. Because the very first beat that I hear, like that I heard, I was like, no, this guy, if I collaborate with him, we can go far.
It can happen. Was this before or after Samini?
No, that's after Samini.
Mm-hmm.
So Brainy was hitting
You're in the same hometown?
Yeah, we all in Accra, the capital city, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we all in Accra, you know what I mean? So shout out to, the name that you mentioned right now is a big inspiration. You know, Samini, he basically single-handedly hold this dancehall thing, you know, try to fuse it a little bit with the reggae and the, you know, the Jamaican thing.
Mm-hmm. I like that tune.
Yeah, and he created a whole genre on its own.
Genre.
Exactly. So we are the, you know, the follow-ups.
Mm-hmm.
We are actually picking up from the beautiful things that he did, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then placing in the face of the people that, you see how beautiful it is. It's like a whole picture together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a painting. He painted some left and then we just continued it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we are the generation from Shamini. You know what I'm saying?
Because all the way down.
Yeah, you know, Stoneboy, all of that. Even this Shatawale himself has actually said it several times on so many
times. Yeah, I like Shatawale too.
Exactly. Shatawale. You know, so we know the source, we know the roots, we know the ones that follow before us. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, if it is not your thing, don't even think of starting first because you've automatically failed.
Big up on the respect where you had to shout out some people.
Yeah.
Because you succeeded ego to just give up props to people who were before you. The need
right.
Some of the artists I've like interacted
before
with.
Before you become a king.
You have to.
Before you become a king, you must first learn how to serve.
Mm. I like that.
Not literally, but in the sense that you have to show acknowledgement, you know, to people that were there before you.
Mm-hmm.
It changes nothing about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It changes nothing about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it actually brings more blessings into
your spirit.
Yeah.
Into your circle.
Right.
You arrive and killed in Seattle.
Right.
Shut down thing. Ghana Independence. I heard everything was there.
Mm-hmm.
Jollof rice was there by Chop Chop.
Yeah.
Shit was popping, man.
There you go.
Oh, DJ Nagam was there.
Mm-hmm.
Was that hidden DJ? Hidden DJ was there.
He was there.
I heard he lost one of his fingers because he did too much. But bathroom was a clean.
Right.
I saw the reels, right?
Mm.
By the way, I'm sorry again. I couldn't make it.
Oh, man.
The Lord called my wife, so we had to be like quiet.
You did everything with the people that we did.
I couldn't make it.
Yeah.
But I saw you killed it.
Right.
Saw a lot of people there.
Boom, boom,
cheering
boom,
in
boom.
The club.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody going wild. Mm-hmm. First of all, you didn't tell me the Agogo dancers. Why did you not give me this information? Well, the day before?
It's part of the surprises Brady was actually holding it back. You know what I'm saying?
I saw Agogo dancers.
Yeah, I also saw them in the Ghana
flag. And then I saw the DJs were hot. Also, one thing I love about the reels was even before you got on stage.
Yeah.
There was something about the vibe of the space,
yeah,
the club, the energy of the people.
Right.
Why is that important before you do a show that the club like has that vibe? So you don't feel like you're overworking yourself when you step on the stage. What's the importance of that shit?
You know, we actually work with energy, you know, and when I say energy, not just my energy, but with the energy of the people, you know what I'm saying? So you need to actually see certain things, feel certain things before you go on stage. And it's also part of the rituals that we do. You know, we have to try and make sure that the people's energy are right before you move on stage, you know? So even sometimes if I'm about to perform in Ghana, I just have to make sure that the person that actually introduced me to the stage knows how to uplift people's energy that is ready to match mine. Because I'm on high spirit.
You know
what I'm saying? So I need that higher level to actually merge. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They were like literally jumping from A to Z, you know? Yeah. And it's just a beautiful moment for the very first time in Seattle, like the Ghanaian communities, the Gambia, Sierra Leone, and Nairobi, I mean, that's Kenya. You know, like, it's so beautiful.
Everywhere, cool.
I just keep saying that the Africans here in Seattle, for the very first time, I've never seen something like this before. Because mostly, I mean, New York and stuff like that, the Africans are actually divided.
Mm-hmm.
But over here, it seems everyone knows each other.
We vibe each other. Everybody brother here.
Like we are a representation of all the countries in Africa. Mm-hmm. Zimbabwe, Tanzania, Zambia.
Everywhere. South Africa
and all of that. And listen, there's no discrimination. If I don't tell you that I'm from Ghana, he doesn't tell you he's from Gambia. You don't know, but we are living as one people.
Yeah, we don't. We're here, neighbors.
Currently in this room, you can count like 5 African countries.
Countries, correct.
On the continent.
Yeah.
That shows how united Seattle you guys are. And if it can continue like this, trust me, I don't think maybe the white people will sack you.
No. We're moving forward. By the way, talking about that, I love the fact that you mentioned that. Big up again to Seattle. You guys, you got it from him, the bull. McKing himself has said, we have potential to be the biggest community of Africans in the diaspora. Mm-hmm. Now, talking about diaspora.
Right.
As an African artist, you come to the States quite a bit.
Yeah, a lot.
So, I know more now about Seattle than I know about Nairobi.
Right.
Like literally, I'm in the environment. My community now is Seattle.
I agree.
When African artists, superstars come to Seattle, how much are we working hard to connect with the community here, of artists here? Because if we're trying to, you know what I'm saying? Like somebody comes to your village, who are you?
Right.
Why are you getting paid in my home?
Mm-hmm.
So now when we come to like cities like Seattle, how should African artists from a, like outside. You've been here for a week. I appreciate you for that, bro. You've done a lot of interviews and stuff. Right. Thank you again for doing this for us, right?
Yeah, I got you. Bro.
But how can other African artists from outside find a way to make home in different places with different people and connect to the community?
Right. It's the groundworks. We did crazy things here. Like, it's so lovely, you know. Connecting with people. I mean, at so many places, you know, I have to go.
You went to Bellevue,
I literally went to the homes of the fans to eat.
Oh, man.
And for me to take something inside of me, like if I should come to, I don't know you, I fan, I just come into your house and then sat down with you, drink the water that you're drinking and eat the food that you're eating right in front of you. It means I trust you. That's the highest level of trust. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It means I overtrust you. I swear to God, because come on, man. Eating in front of you.
It's different. I don't even know you. Like
exactly.
That.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So we did the groundworks, you know, and Brainy is that crazy guy that always want to take it to the next level.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes, because even today I was sleeping in the car, this guy, like,
he says, let's go.
Some of the things I'm like, nah.
I'm tired.
But then it works. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So what I've experienced here, I think if every African artist comes to Seattle, Seattle is like a family, you know. The union here is so strong. So the best way to win their heart is to be like them. in the sense that make sure you call Dubai, do a promo with Dubai, you know, the Saturday football, you have to go on the field, play with them, you know, phone call certain people, you know what I'm saying? Let someone bring you, go and smoke some weed somewhere in somebody's house, you know.
Can just we say that? Just vibe with them though.
Exactly. Vibe with them.
Yeah.
You don't want me to waste any other name, man. You know, just like, be like them. You know what I'm saying? Don't come here and be like you are too much
superstar. You're a superstar.
Exactly.
I like that.
Because Seattle can surprise you too if you don't.
Oh, yeah, you can surprise. You know, Banner Boy came here before and then he canceled.
You know what I'm saying?
It's okay.
Seattle will humble you.
We'll check your mental health.
So when you get here, the people are nice. They are very lovely. You know, I think this is the first time I've been in American state that I've never heard siren, police siren before.
No problems.
No, crazy. I swear to God, because where we stay in New Jersey, Brainy's
came there.
Brainy's window is by the roadside.
Yeah.
So every second, Brainy
likes police. I don't like him. He likes lights. He likes Christmas when he was young. So now all the lights are following him up.
And then when you wake up to him, you see him doing. But over here, it's quite different. Cool. Like, everything is friendly out here.
Yeah.
Just respect them.
Respect them.
Their rules and not take them for granted. That's it. Yeah. They are showing you pure love. Show them pure love back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's exactly what I'm receiving here, you know?
Why is family important to you?
Because family is everything, you know? Family can make and break you in both ways. Mm. In the sense that if you're not treating family right, don't expect family to treat you right.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
It's like a united business, you know what I'm saying? Mm. So, obviously, the only reason why people will be unified is by similar understanding. You know, did you get me?
Mm-hmm.
When there is similar understanding across each and everybody's heart and mind, obviously, they're going to be united and be doing things very similar and loving themselves. I didn't even know there was a group that you guys have here. And then, you know, when there is a...
Yeah,
they have it.
You know what I'm saying?
So, like, sometimes I'll be showing you my, I saw it in a group already.
Yeah, we already
like, this is just beautiful. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So, be part of them.
Mm.
Just be part of them. And of course, without family, who are you?
You can't be alone.
Family is a basic, you know? You can't just move to the up. You have to definitely pass through the basics before you get up there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. Yeah. How do you take care of your mental health?
In Ghana, we don't have...
I don't say that now. He says no mental health. There's no mental health in Africa.
Bro.
Wait, we're neck down. No mental.
We're neck down. The sun will clear everything in your head. Isn't it a sunshine in Ghana now?
The sun hits you and the mental health leaves you.
The mental health is actually scared of the sun.
As soon as the sun comes up, the health...
Bro, anywhere you go, anywhere. Even in your room, the sun is there. Bro, the heat in Africa, mental health. and mental health yourself. See what you eat. You are just saying, I have mental breakdown. In Ghana, you eat the mental breakdown. You eat that mental breakdown and drink that mental breakdown.
That
shows how powerful and strong we are as
but
Africans.
I like it because that shows that you guys have different ways that you de-stress.
Exactly.
And release.
All right. So let me tell you this.
Talk to me.
In Ghana, you don't have to have millions to be able to happy.
Because
guess what? Somebody has cooked in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can just go there and eat some.
Yeah, eat some.
When you just finish eating, you will see a friend walking down the road to go to a bar to go and drink alcohol.
Mm.
You can join him. Don't worry. He'll buy it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then when you're walking by the roadside, you get a friend that's actually driving towards your direction.
So driving, now you're just moving. There's movement.
So even if
you're just chill, there's movement.
If you're hungry in Ghana, just go outside. Don't worry, you'll be sorted. Yeah, exactly.
Oh man. All right.
Yeah, we have something in Ghana. In Ghana, we call it three lime one.
Three lime one.
What's that?
Tell me, bro. What's three lime one?
Like, this guy is sitting there.
Three lime one. What's three lime one? Like three bitters. Lime one.
You know, alcohol. In Ghana, we have bitters, alcohol.
Yeah, bitter,
You see the roots?
Yeah.
They put it in like a vodka.
To ferment. Yeah.
Yeah. So before.
Like moonshine.
Moonshine.
Yeah.
So before we go and play even football,
yeah.
You have to put three thoughts, three shots,
yeah.
And one lime to mix and drink before you go and play the football.
Three lime one. And it helps you kick the ball.
Bro.
Hey.
Whether you are playing football. So if. Okay, so 1 week you'll be doing 3 lime 1. Yeah. After a week, you have to graduate to 6 lime 2.
Oh, 6 lime 2. Oh. All right, I got some quick questions for you.
Right.
I know you've taken time for us, and I appreciate you again for coming to Seattle. But let's shoot it.
Mm.
Who are the 3 artists you want to work with in the future?
In the future, obviously not PDD.
I said yes, no ah. Okay, PDD was there. Bad boy. What about Burna Boy? He needs it. Okay, cool. I'm done. Continue.
Did you just mention Burna Boy needs it?
No, I didn't say Burna Boy and Diddy made the album. I was not there.
Me too, I'm not there.
I
don't want to work.
Saw on YouTube.
Oh, what is it? You're a bad guy.
Who are the 3 producers you work with? No, Diddy.
Daddy Lumba.
Daddy Lumba.
Yeah. Kudrenchi.
Why him?
Daddy Lumba, oh my God. This is like a veteran in my country.
Mm.
You know, he changed the face of Ghana music.
Mm.
You know, even though people don't actually appreciate him enough.
Yeah, shout out. Yeah.
I don't know, because of the cornrow and the color. I don't know.
Big up to you, Conro and Kala.
So Daddy Lumba, Kudrenchi.
Okay.
Kudrenchi is also, Kudrenchi and Vibes Cartel when he comes out of jail.
Vibes Cartel.
Yeah.
Come out of jail. Yeah, I'm sending the message.
Most definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who is the last one?
So first one is Daddy Lumba, you know, and then the second one is Kudrenchi.
Okay.
And then Vibes Cartel. You know?
I mean, I think Vibes Cartel will come and like really shake the dancehall place.
Most definitely.
What's next for you in the dancehall space?
Currently, you know, the music is emerging in a different kind of way. It's actually transcending from what we believe to be, like, you know. I personally now, I'm trying as much as possible to add more spices, you know, into this dancehall thing that I do, you know, so I like can
different genres.
Yeah, no, I'm a dancehall artist. No 2 ways about it, right? Mm-hmm. But if you give me an amapiano beat, I'll flow on it. Exactly, you know. So there should be some sort of fusion that I shouldn't be limited just to dancehall alone.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So the question now has to be like, what is the way forward musically, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be like a world artist in the sense that I'm ready to do any type of genre. When you give me like, you know, disco beat, I'm definitely
going to go.
Yeah, I'm going to be. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how, you know, challenging I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I want to
push yourself out of your comfort zone.
I don't want to be limited to one particular, but my representation obviously is an African doing a dancehall, you know, song, but then I am a world artist.
Would you ever transition into movies, film, short films?
No, I'm actually in the movie with Ghost. You know Ghost?
Who's Ghost?
Yeah, I shot a scene.
Why did you know Ghost?
No, Omari Hardwick. You know Power?
Oh, Power. Say Power. Don't say Ghost.
Oh, sorry.
I'm scared. I've been strapping my family. I can't be talking like that so loud, bro. They might look at me now.
So I played a couple of scenes in a series called Fearless. By Omari Hardwick.
Yeah,
Omari Hardwick.
He's coming back for the new season. 50 Cent is renewing like this life before him. That's pretty good for him.
He's a very good friend of mine. Like, you know, we vibe. So I'm already in the Hollywood business.
So you can do movies.
No.
If you can shoot movies,
yeah.
Jupiter is ready.
And also,
Wakanda 4, Wakanda 3.
Exactly. Exactly.
He's here.
Exactly.
Okay.
But not any type of movies though. Not the XX. No.
No. Yeah.
I don't do adult movies.
Not adult movies.
Yeah. Exactly.
It has to be reggae.
Yeah.
So, where can the people find you online?
Well, on all my social networks. If you are looking for Jupiter, just make sure you type Jupiter official on all social media. You know, and definitely you can get me, and then we keep talking, man. You know what I'm saying?
Jupiter,
my brother,
king of dancehall in Ghana.
I don't know.
So here in the Pacific Northwest,
right?
As creative artists,
yeah,
we not only serve our people who are artists like ourselves,
yeah,
we also serve the youth,
right?
Does your platform ever serve any youth programs, youth shows, something like that?
Yeah, most definitely. I'm known as the kids' dad.
Kids' dad,
in the sense like that. Not that I have a whole lot of kids though, but
you have a lot of kids.
No, not that.
You are shooting.
No.
I see you.
You know, in the sense that I make sure I have this particular day, that's my spiritual month, you know, which is August, that I go back to my society, my community, and all the kids in my society, I just make sure you know, all these games, football tournaments, cook food, share amongst them, and then later I perform for them for free.
I like that.
You know what I'm saying? So I just, that is part of my social responsibilities that I actually do for my community. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, anytime I'm by the roadside, mm-hmm. and I see a little one selling, you know, selling, it reminds me of when I used to walk, you know, to studio and all of that. So I just put myself in their shoes. I was like, damn, this guy's not even eating since like 3 days.
I can tell because I've been there.
I've been there. Yeah, so yeah, quickly, yeah. Then I give them a huge sum of money, you know, so that they can just get off street for some time and then maybe, you know, until we meet again. You know what I'm saying? That's the best I can do. Yeah, most
definitely. Yeah. Appreciate you for doing that. Man. Yeah. Big up love, man. Now, you have one of the biggest songs that ever left Ghana,
yeah,
launched from the continent and served the world.
Right.
What inspired that song? Introduce it to the world for the people who have never heard it, because you know it's already big.
Right.
But introduce it again. What inspired the song? Right. What's the name of the song? What behind it, right?
So the song is Enemies. It goes like, even if I fall, surely I will rise again. In every situation, please never complain. Slowly, slowly, but sure. And my heart is so pure. So God in heaven bless me some more. Alle, alle, hallelujah. Enemies, don't come my way. Guess what? So this song.
I think I was fire.
I was in that other part of my, you know, in that part of my life where I feel like I'm between giving up and, you know, anything can happen, you know what I'm saying? Because I went through some crazy, you know, stuff that I can hardly speak about it, you know what I mean? But it was between like life and it's a survival moment for me, most definitely. Yeah. And then I actually sat back and I was just like, I put my hands in a very dark room, because normally that's what I do, in a dark room, and then speaking to myself, speaking to my spirit, trying to uplift myself more. And then the song was just ringing in my head without like, Enemies is a song that I didn't even take pen and paper to write it at all. Sometimes when it was just, the song was literally flowing in my head. Guess what? I repeated in my head for like about 2 hours to drive to a studio to lay it up. And guess what? When I get to the studio, the producer was there, was waiting for someone to come and record. The guy didn't show up and was like, Charlie, I've been playing this beat, but for some reason I need to go home. It's past, like my recording time is past. I got to go home, but for some reason I'm just here. I said, listen, play the beat that you said. Guess what? It's the same key. It's the same, you know, melody.
Melody, yeah.
Everything. Like, it's exactly the key that said, the drum, like, everything. Mm. So when he started playing and I was singing, it was like, as if, you know, we sat and we actually wrote that song. Mm. So I said to myself, if I actually stayed in the room without going out to record that song, then
you'd have missed out on the potential.
Exactly. You know, so we are spiritually inclined like that. Guess what? When I recorded that song, I had a phone call from Sarkode the following day saying he wanted me on the song, right?
Shout out to Sarkode, by the way.
Yeah, big up. That's a big, biggest, you know, superstar in my country, man. You know what I mean? It's not so much for Ghana music. Much respect, Sarkode. So Sarkode phoned me, was like, yo, I have this song that I actually wanted. So this all is spiritually connected. Now, guess what? That's the first time him calling me, you know? So he phoned me and then he said he has a song for me. Mm. So I went there and I did my part on the song. The song was with me and Stoneboy. So we finished it. I was like, bro, you know what? Listen to this song. When he listened to the song, he said he's also going through a similar situation. But this song, listen, he spoke to me for like about 2 to 3 hours in his house. It was so emotional, I swear to God. Because at that time, Ghanaians were on him.
You know, they were saying also.
Like politically?
Both. Like, okay. Always, you know what I'm saying? Because like, Ghanaians can really make you go and commit suicide, you know? Especially on Twitter. No two ways about it, you know. It was like, this is the right song for me to express
and release
myself.
Everything.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he started, and try me before, but I be warrior. They never want to see me get out. But me, my prophecy be Psalm 24. The people we are, the help. Same people, they turn against people that they pray make a fall. Like, it matches.
It was there back then, right? Yeah.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. So whatever that song could actually speak on that, listen, it was from a spiritual
from inside,
exactly.
Like you can feel like it's something that affected in person.
Exactly, yeah. Like it was just crazy. And I was like, listen, this thing is connected. The day that we released the song, even up to now, when you check on, is it Gambia or Gabon? I think Gabon, they are top 200. Enemies is still there. Mm. And guess what? This is one particular song that actually took me everywhere in the world, you know,
majority of the African countries, actually, the ones that have never even seen me before, they play, like, this is my life. Mm. Trust me, this changed my life. You know what I'm saying? Changed everything about me. So Enemies is more spiritual, you know what I'm saying? And we just give thanks to God that sometimes as an artist, you need to have this evergreen song that when you play to people,
they connect instantly.
They
connect to it. Like,
and guess what? Plug-in. When I released it, the comments, not Ghana. So many places, you know, across the globe, like they be commenting, listen, you know what is, you just be there, I'm here 2024 again. This song has done so. And guess what? Sometimes I'll even be on a plane, on a flight, and I'll see all these big men playing, that's their ringtone and stuff like that.
And you can listen, but you're not saying nothing.
No,
you're
quiet. No, because they have money, so I bring it. When they play, they're like, yo, you know, that's my song. Oh, are you Jupiter? Oh, blah, 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 blah. We connected, and then there was a deal. You know what I mean? So he has done a whole lot for me. That is how spiritual I am when it comes to music. Do you get me? This is even a typical example of what I was telling you earlier on, you know? So I don't play with my melodies, and I don't play with my sound, and I don't play with my lyrics. It has to touch a soul. You know what I'm saying? And if it is explicit to, we go all out, we tell you the whole part of woman body, just like David.
So if you had $10 million today, $10 million for the brand of Jupiter,
yeah,
what do you think you need to get to the next level?
If I have $10 million.
You're $10 million in your brand right now. Bro, what do you think? What's that push you think it's missing?
Hey, listen.
Don't tell me Miami. I know you. Vegas.
I'm telling you the real fact, right? Okay, I'll just take $1 million out of it, right? To push my career. The rest, I'll call my big brother, and I'll go do that, bro. First of all, my mentor, Phoebe, was Seattle and Hawaii. Charlie, I might hit you. The rest, Faminchi. Okay, so this is what I'm saying. Let me just interpret. I'll just take $1 million out of it to, you know.
You
to
just only want $1 million, not 10.
And these are the two people I'll call Brainy, I'll call Nana Kukudia, right?
What's Brainy gonna do?
He knows.
Hey, wait,
that one is secret. I said, Brainy, let's stop everything in life. Like, let's not do anything. Don't, hey, don't go million, to work again. Yeah,
1 million into the brand only. Not even 50%, bro. Ah. The rest is gonna come.
Okay, let me tell you. Why do you think I'm singing? Not to make money.
Okay.
And now I have 100 million. The 1 million, I'll divide it into 2.
10 million.
I'll take 500K.
500K?
Reinvest it in my career.
Okay.
Is it 9.5?
Yeah.
I'll useless myself.
Useless myself? Yeah, you'll spoil your life.
Bro.
Okay. All right. Last question, right?
Yeah.
Again, thank you again for making time to be here.
Man, you know,
you're having a fun evening with you. I love the fact that I'm not trying to make this like CNN or Al Jazeera.
Yeah.
Let's just vibe.
Hey,
so people can know who the fuck
most definitely
Jupiter is.
Most definitely.
And so the last question for us who are staying here, diaspora people have not been to Africa for quite a bit.
Yeah.
How can we, let me use collaborative language, artists from Africa and creative entrepreneurs like myself,
right,
working with you to bridge the gap between Afrobeat, African Americans in Washington, Seattle, use it as a bridge to like pass our cultures together so we can understand each other better. Because at the end of the day, we need them.
Right, right.
They also need us.
Right, right.
Right?
Personally.
Like we need each other.
Yeah,
most definitely. And whatever music we try to make, I love when Burna Boy had this show at Atlanta. Yeah, had, like Tony Braxton come out of there. Shout out to my
that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Vintage crush. Yeah. But my English is limited. But
that sounds funny.
But anyway, I'm just saying I love it. Yeah. I love the fact that Burna Boy brought Tony Braxton in there.
Right.
And I feel at least the time
that's historic
in this place where Afrobeat, African, one of my homeboys today, his name is Nana. Shout out to Kente Magazine. He told me that a lot of things evolving from hip hop. Even Afrobeat has some hip hop in it.
Right.
And the hip hop came from here. So how do we create this ecosystem where African artists don't just come collect and leave?
Right.
African artists come, if it's New York, I need a few New Yorkers to open the show for me.
Right.
When I'm in Seattle, I need 4 Seattle local artists to open for me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No,
rappers do it. Afrobeat artists, I feel like we should also get in a place where like, let me amalgamate
because
I'm in your home. Mm-hmm. You don't want people to come into your hometown.
Right.
And yet shit out. What do you think?
Well, I think that's a good point. Because obviously before they travel to the diaspora, they were once Africans, you know, back home. So
talk to them.
We always have to find a dynamic way to, you know, make them feel like they are still part of us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So by so doing, if you realized what happened with my show, my event, mm-hmm. last week or so.
What happened?
You realized that.
Bro, I was sick, bro. You gotta tell me. I know, I was sick, bro. What happened?
I approached you. You know,
yo, that was Friday. That was yes. cool. Everything yeah. was cool. Yeah,
yeah. I drove to you because guess what? You are a link. You are playing your part as an African into the diaspora, playing your part. You know what I'm saying? So I need to pay homage to you. You know what I'm saying?
And after that, I appreciate that.
Come on, man. If I knew how big you were,
I would have bro.
You are super big too. You know what I'm saying? Because you guys are holding it down here. Mm. You know what I mean? So when we come, we have to pay homage. We have to try as much as possible to connect with the people, the ones that are doing the groundworks. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It didn't end there. Now,
because you want those things to be played in the club every weekend, even exactly. when you're not here.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
People got a request. It didn't even end there. You saw the drummers mm-hmm. that actually were in my Airbnb that we got flagged down. We can't even book Airbnb.
We can't even talk about it. No, we're gonna get
they
it.
They were playing the drums.
The drums over there, yeah.
Exactly. So yeah. These are people that actually moved from Africa mm-hmm. back here into the Western world, and they are still Africans, obviously. So I try as much as possible to, you know, connect with all of them, you know. They were on my stage, and it made it very beautiful. I didn't bring the DJs from, you know, from Ghana.
That's not the point.
I didn't bring the drummers from Ghana.
They're here.
They are all here. Mm-hmm. And I make sure I get connected with them, connected with the fans, and we had a good time. Mm-hmm. So the only way is by connecting with them, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? We shouldn't make them feel like, you know, they are no longer part of us. Mm-hmm. You know, we should try to find a ways to acknowledge them mm-hmm. in every simple way that we can, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And then trust me, it's going to go global.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know about Jupiter Music, today I had the pleasure of hanging out with my brother,
right.
the chief. I'm only saying all this because hopefully when I go to Ghana, I'll have some food. But ladies and gentlemen, it's been a beautiful interview with superstar Jupiter, dancehall king, singer, songwriter, producer, soon to be movie star. Idris Elba, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth.
I'm about to crush all of them, you know.
Killed it on Seattle here, Ghana Independence Weekend, Seattle.
Right.
Shout out to Brainy Beats. Shout out to. I gotta know who to shout out to. First up, Hidden DJ. I heard you did a good job. I also, Stepa, you did a good job. But stop putting all the women in the front of the camera. Move them back. We are Christians. Ramadan. Watch what you say.
African Connect.
Shout out to African Connect again. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. Shout out to DJ Afrisha. Shout out to Kente Magazine.
Hey, shout out to DJ Afrisha again. Because, hey, man, she be holding me down here, guys.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be here.
Yeah, man. She exactly. be playing my songs, man.
Yeah.
I went to an event, Brainy.
The one in Bellevue.
Yeah, exactly. That and then dope. I saw her playing my songs, you know. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, I owe her.
Shout out to that.
I'll buy a house for her in Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle, yeah. We're holding it down. I just want to tell you guys, we are the new millionaires.
That's it.
We need each other to make sure Jupiter makes it. We need each other to make sure the show makes it.
Right.
We are about to launch this. Get the new, what's the new album? What's the new project?
The new album, definitely, it's going to be an EP first. It's called Young Mason.
Young Mason.
Yeah.
Why Mason? What else, Mason? Are you building things?
Exactly, you know what I mean?
Young Mason.
So Young Mason is coming up. That's the EP.
Young Mason.
You want to know more about the Mason thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to follow you. And please follow him on social media. It's been real. Creative Hustle.
Boom.